Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1762. The topic is training, and the title is Programming Concepts for Greater Results in Less Time. Well, I think that sounds amazing. I think we would all like greater results in less time. So I wanted to share two techniques or kind of programming concepts that I used just this week with some clients, and it kind of sparked the idea to make the podcast. One technique is to use full-body, non-competitive circuits. What this means is we want to pick exercises that we can kind of target the whole body, or if you're only doing an upper body workout, you can pick only upper body movements. If you're doing a lower body workout, try to pick lower body movements. So whatever your focus of the day is. But if we're trying to get great results in less time, that typically means we're going to be doing full body training, or at least upper lower. So this is a concept that you can use within that. We would pick a couple movements. The idea is that other than the lungs competing for oxygen, the movements don't use the exact same muscles, or at least not in the exact same way. As an example, I have a client doing barbell sumo stance deadlifts, and we're actually doing them in a specific way in which we're trying not to maximize the width of the stance. We actually want to maximize the external rotational involvement within the glutes and the hips. And this is going to help hip strength, not only for weightlifting, but also for cycling and a couple other goals that we have. But it's a sumo deadlift. Then he goes into dips and then into pull-ups. And you can do that you could probably flip-flop the pull-ups and the dips. It doesn't really matter. But I like doing the deadlifts first. They're the most technical lift, so you want to get them after you've had your rest and your recovery. If you do a dip or a pull-up slightly out of breath and, a little exhausted, that's not going to cause as much of an injury risk as doing sumo deadlifts exhausted. That will increase injury risk. So he's doing sumo deadlifts into dips into pull-ups. Or, like I said, sumo deadlifts, pull-ups into dips. You can kind of flip that order around a little bit. But the idea is that he's going to train his legs, his pushing muscles, and his pulling muscles of the upper body all in one circuit. So he's getting basically the full body. Now, I know you can argue that maybe there isn't some core involved. I would argue that you don't do sumo deadlifts regularly then. Because your core is definitely involved in bracing for sumo deadlifts. You might say it doesn't work the, medial deltoid. You're absolutely right. There's not going to be a lot of stimulus there for the middle of the shoulder muscle. So you can add some nuancey things here and there and change it around. But the idea is he's getting his lower body in some way. He's getting his upper body split into push and pull. Typically, our push movement muscles are our chest, our shoulders, and our triceps. And more specifically in the shoulders, it's the front shoulder. Our pull muscles are our back and biceps and the backside of the shoulder, the rear deltoid. So the shoulders can kind of work a little bit in both ways. But that's the idea, is we're getting push and pull in the upper body and we're getting a lower body movement all blended into one circuit. There's a lot of reasons why I like this. One reason is that you get a lot done in a shorter amount of time. So rather than doing the deadlift, sitting around for 3 minutes, doing a deadlift, sitting around for 3 minutes, doing a deadlift, then you set up the dips, you do the dips, sit around for 1 to 2 minutes, do a dip, sit around for 1 or 2 minutes, do a dip, sit around for 1 or 2 minutes, set up, if you have to at all, for pull-ups. You do a set of pull-ups, sit around for 2 or 3 minutes, do pull-ups, sit around for 2 or 3 minutes. It just takes forever. There's so much wait time. Whereas in a circuit like this, you would do the deadlifts, and then you'd get over to this dip station. Maybe it takes you 30, 60 seconds to get into dips. Then you take 30, 60 seconds to get into pull-ups, and then you have your bigger, longer break. And that's going to help then within like maybe 3, 5, 6 minutes, somewhere near 3 to 6 minutes, you're going to be recovered and ready to go. So you're going to get a working set of all three movements in, plus the rest time, all in a shorter amount of time than it would take the other way if they were broken apart and separated. So the idea of doing the circuit is not only do you get more work in less time, which is greater results in less time, but you also perform better. If you do the movements individually and you do all your deadlifts, then say you did all your pull-ups and then you got to your dips, you'd be dead. You'd have like very little left over in energy systems to be able to do well in the dips. Your adrenaline is going to be worn out. Endorphins are going to be gone. So you're just going to not be in the most like best energy and chemical state, like hormone state, to be able to do well in the dips. Whereas if you do the movements in a circuit, so you do the deadlift, the pull-ups, then the dips, you're going to have a much better condition, body condition, to do well in the dips. So you'll get a better stimulus from the dips than if they were always dead last. Now, you could say, well, maybe next workout I'll rotate and do the dips first, and then do the deadlifts, and then the pull-ups. And then the next workout, maybe I'll do the pull-ups, then the dips, then the deadlifts. You could rotate through that if you want. It's going to be harder to track your performance, because whatever you did first one week and then you do last on the next week is going to be trash. You're going to feel like the weight was a million times heavier. You're going to have trouble tracking progressions, because when you do a movement within a workout will change how well you do in the movement. And then also, I would argue that especially if you have a technical movement like a sumo deadlift, it's not best to do that super fatigued, because you do risk injury. Having certain muscles, supporting muscles, stabilizing muscles fatigued at that point, you could increase injury risk. So you could rotate the movements, but I don't think that's the better idea. I think the better idea is to put them as a circuit. Now, when I train bodybuilders who have enough of a certain setup, maybe they train at home or a small private gym, we can do what we call slow supersets. So I might have them do something like, say, the deadlifts, dips, and pull-ups. Those aren't traditionally bodybuilding movements, but the concept is we'll stay with the exercises. So they might do the deadlifts, dips, and pull-ups, but they take a 2-minute rest between each thing. The reason there is it won't necessarily make the workout any faster, but it increases their performance per movement. Again, rather than having them do all of the deadlifts, then all of the dips, then get to the pull-ups, and all of a sudden they're worn out and exhausted. So I will do slow circuits. I actually love doing that myself. That's actually how I prefer to train when I do bodybuilding. So the other day, for example, I was doing straight arm pull-downs into lat pull-downs into a seated cable row. So I was doing the straight arm lat pull downs with individual handles, individual cables. So there was a unilateral stimulus, so I had to squeeze down each equally. I then went into a wide overhand grip lat pull down, and that I really enjoy because it helps to, once you have the lats tight and kind of pumped up from the straight arm pull downs, you go into that pull down and it opens up and kind of stretches and extends the lats at the top. So you get a really good stretch on a pumped muscle. So it actually gets better muscular damage and activation within the lat from the top to the bottom. And since it's a compound movement, you do have like your rear delts helping out, your biceps helping out. You have more mid traps and some other odds and ends helping out. It helps to push the lats a little further into fatigue. So you get kind of like a pre-exhausted effect, and it's a priming effect because you're going to be better aware of what's happening within your lats by having them primed and already pumped from the straight arm pull downs. And then you go into the rows. What's nice there is your lats are already fatigued, so you're going to get more mid-back activation from the lower traps, rhomboids, because the lats can't help out or take over as much because they're already exhausted from the first two movements. So it gets a much better mid-back development and thickness. So doing those three as a circuit, you actually get really awesome effect by blending them as a circuit than you would doing them separated. I love non-competitive circuits for bodybuilding. So that is something I personally use all the time. I started lifting weights. I was 165 pounds and skinny fat, no muscle definition whatsoever. I am 285 pounds now at a lower body fat percentage than I was at 165. So I've gained 120 pounds to my body and I'm leaner, a lower body fat percentage. So it does work. I promise you it works. But that's what I love. These are techniques that I use myself. This is why I write them for clients. Everything I've ever given to a client, I have done. Now, they might be stronger than I am because I have some really insanely strong powerlifting clients, but I know what a one rep max feels like. I've competed in powerlifting. I know what it feels like. I know how miserable it is. I've dieted several times for like shows and done aesthetic diets. I've done I remember one 10-month diet, I lost 70 pounds and got really freaking lean, really good looking. I was happy with that. Then I have done three diets where I lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less. So I've done my fair share of dieting to lose body fat and body weight. I've done a lot to gain size. I've done a lot of strength stuff. So the techniques that I write in my clients' programs are things that I love and I know work. They worked for me. They've worked for the thousands of clients I've worked with. So I love, 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 love getting to share these kind of things because they're so damn effective. And if you're going to put in the work, why not get the best results from your work? So I love it. But that is one of the techniques I used recently for a client. They loved it. What was actually funny was the first week they did it, they forgot that they didn't realize it was a circuit. They did them separated, and they said that the dips at the very end, they were destroyed. They could barely do them at all. Now, the second week, they did it as a circuit, and they said they felt like they could have added weight to the dips. They could have added body weight. And I'm like, yeah, it's freaking awesome. So it was wonderful for them to see exactly the concept of circuits and how that made such a huge difference for them. So I loved it, loved it, loved it. Very happy that they got to experience that. But that's the idea for full body, non-competitive circuits. I might come back and do a podcast on how to do this for bodybuilding, because I guess that would be a pretty good podcast, is how do you do non-competitive circuits for the same muscle group? Kind of sounds like an oxymoron. But you can do that. I do it all the time. So I'll come back and make a podcast specifically about like building muscle tissue and how to use non-competitive circuits. But that's the idea. You pick a couple of movements. You could really pick, you know, between 2 to 5 movements. I prefer 3 because I feel like you can get a really good quality out of them. 2 is really just a superset, and I feel like it misses some things you can catch with a third exercise. I think when you get to 4 or 5 exercises, your quality on the 4th and 5th one is trash because you're just not going to be able to sustain great performance across 4 or 5 exercises all in a row. So I prefer 3. You want to do the riskiest stuff first. You want to do the most demanding stuff first. A general order that you would follow when sequencing the exercises. This isn't always true, but a good place to start is explosive, strength, muscle damage, and endurance. That's the order. If there's anything you're doing that's explosive, make it first. If there's anything you're doing that's really freaking heavy, strength-based stuff, do that after the explosive stuff, if there is any explosive. Then should be the muscle damaging things, and then the muscular endurance or cardiovascular endurance. So that is a great concept. I love it, love it, love it. I definitely recommend that you use that. Another technique that I used recently for a client, and I use myself, is when I train at commercial gyms. I am a snob. I will 100% say that, is I'm a gym snob. I have been in a million different gyms over the years. I've got to create and make my own gym when I was 16 years old in my parents' basement. I then got to go to my high school I graduated from, actually filled out and built a community center gym that I got to participate in and have a say-so in how it was like organized and stuff. So that was really fun and awesome. And it was a relatively small facility, but so that kind of felt like a private training center in a sense. It was great. You knew everybody's name. Everybody was super nice. Loved it. Then when I went at the other gyms I got access to were in college, a couple big commercial style gyms where like all the student body got access to, and that was a train wreck. And then I found a couple small little like 24-hour ones I could go to. So I've been a little bit everywhere. When I go to commercial gyms, basic commercial gyms, what I don't like is that it's damn near impossible to superset anything because people are unaware and like not really a knock on anybody else. I mean, like if you're trying to superset 3 or 4 things in a commercial gym, that's just kind of stupid on you to try to do that because not everyone is paying attention to you. Imagine that. You know, they have their own crap to deal with and their own things going on in their head, and they're trying to get their stuff in. So if you're bouncing back and forth between two machines and somebody sits on one of the machines you were using, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, that's the nature of the area you're in. So I like to stay on a single piece for quite a while. Now that, unfortunately, probably pisses off other people, but, you know, if I sat there on there first, I win. I'm not going to lick it to claim it, but if I sit on it, I'm claiming it. But what I do in that situation is I will change my training techniques without changing exercises. A lot of time in workouts are wasted by people moving from one exercise to another exercise to another exercise, and you're either setting up equipment or you're warming up the movement. And it's like, well, damn, you know, once you're on something and you're warmed up, milk that thing out, you know, get what you can from it. So one of the orders and sequences of things I like to do I did this recently in one of my workouts, and I then gave it to a client, was I was on a chest fly machine. It just so happened I went up to, I guess I'll say it because they're never going to know, but Lifetime Fitness up in Charlotte. I was at that gym. I go to that gym whenever my wife is working in Charlotte, and I go up with her to share the day because maybe we have something to do after work that I don't want her to have to do on her own. So the benefit of being remote is I can go and hang out with her. So I'll go work out at Lifetime Fitness, and there is a chest fly machine that one of my clients in California has, and he was saying that it felt weird to him. He felt like it was almost too easy on the full stretch, but too hard as your hands would come close together, which is the complete opposite of the strength curve. So that whoever made the machine kind of screwed that up. And so I told him, I said, hey, well, it just so happens I know Lifetime has that machine. Let me go up there and use that, and we'll find some schemes for it. So we ended up figuring out how to use partial reps out of it, and it worked out great. But while I was on that machine, I did two warm-up sets, like just feeling out the position. Do I need to lift the seat up or down? Kind of what do I got to do? Do I want to wrap my thumbs around the handle? Do I not want to wrap my thumbs around the handle? What felt better? When I didn't wrap my thumbs, I felt like I got too much front shoulder, so I went ahead and wrapped my thumbs, and that kept it better chest. So I did two sets of like 10 or so. I don't really count sometimes when I'm doing warm-ups. It's probably somewhere between 10 to 20. I got the positions, felt happy with it. So I started with what I call tempo control sets. I would do a 3-count concentric, 3-count eccentric for a set of 10. That's like a minute of flies. So I'd pick a weight and I would try that for a set of 10. If it felt like a good challenge, I would move on. If it didn't feel like a good challenge, I would add weight again and do it again. What I would move on to, the next thing, is a 2-count concentric and 2-count eccentric. I would do one or two sets depending on if I found the right weight. And then I would go into a normal, hard, challenging set of 10 where it's still under control, but maybe like a 1-second eccentric, a 1-count concentric. So I'm what's called like a rhythm lifter. So I do lift with a little bit of a faster pace than most people. So I end up doing a lot higher reps than most people would. But I like that style. It fits me best. So I was doing a couple tempo controlled sets. And then I went ahead and moved up in weight, and I picked a weight that I thought I could do for probably around 8 to 10 reps. But I just did mini sets. I did 5 reps per set, but I did 5 sets of 5. And that was a really cool stimulus, 5 sets of 5 with maybe a 20-30 second rest in between. So they were they're basically rest pause. It's a variation of rest pause that I like. It maximizes weight load, but it also maximizes technique quality. So I really enjoy doing that variation when I'm doing like strength-based, heavy-based work. Then I finished with a drop set. So I did a last set of 5, dropped some weight down, did somewhere between 5 to 10 reps, dropped some weight down, 5 to 10 reps, dropped some weight down, 5 to 10 reps. So a multiple drop set. So all in that same exercise, I did tempo-controlled sets, then rest-pause sets, and then drop sets. And that was really cool. I really liked that technique. That way I got a lot of working sets without a lot of time wasted because I was just on one machine, didn't have to set up a bunch of stuff, didn't have to go around the gym trying to find the next thing that was open. So that is also a great way to get greater results in less time. So those two techniques I do want to encourage you to try. Full body or half body or whatever your target is, non-competitive circuits, and then try changing your training techniques without changing the exercise. So on the same exercise, try tempo control, rest pause, drop sets. There's a lot of other techniques, but you can try those ones, and that's a fun place to start. Okay? So I thought that was fun to share. If you have any questions, we do have programming services. I have my one-on-one coaching service where I will write programs for you and help you with nutrition, weekly check-ins, video reviews, all the good stuff. And then we also have our live monthly programming service, which is I write programs based on a goal. And then you can pick whichever goal you want to follow, and then you get brand new programs every 4 weeks. It also includes one-on-one education. You can ask absolutely anything, and I will answer every single question every week in a joined document that everybody gets access to, so we all can learn from those questions. Those are two great, great, great services. We also have a bunch of free content on our website as well, so you might want to check that out. The website is www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, if you have any questions, if you need anything, let me know. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Jim. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.